And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and warm, loving greetings to all of our listeners.
Yeah, especially on this beautiful last day of May. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for being with us for whatever part of the next 2 hours. We certainly appreciate it. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. One reminder on that Our House Ministries website. If you care to sponsor one of our shows, there's a link on the donate page at ourhouseministries.org, and with all the information on how to go about doing that, you can always call Maureen as well if you're interested in sponsoring this hour. We would certainly appreciate the financial help. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The church is located at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Streets in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. The shrine's open from 9 to 5 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Towards the end of the day, on Thursdays, 4 o'clock, we have a group that gets together and prays the rosary. Last week, I think we had over a dozen people there. So if you're going to come down on a Thursday, just know that you have an opportunity to pray the rosary with us at 4 o'clock. By all means, get in touch with us, too, if you plan to come down so that Father and or I can arrange to meet you over in church. And I got a flyer here also for Kathleen McCarthy, and this is coming up rather quickly. On Saturday, June the 10th, will be the Catholic Women's Conference, and it's going to take place at Marywood University up in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. If you want to sign up or get more information, best bet is to go to their website at CWCNEPA. That's CWCNEPA. Catholic Women's Conference, NortheastPennsylvania.com, and you'll be able to register online and get the details. Kathleen will be there along with Jeanette Bekovic-Williams, Maria Salamita, and Mary Claire Hallman. So quite a lineup there for the ladies if you can make your way up to Dunmore. Again, that's on June the 10th. All right, without any further ado, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd also ask for prayers for a bunch of guys and a friend of mine, Father John Wackerman. There'll be a Matt Talbot retreat this weekend down in Cape May. The weekend itself is actually sold out, and Father John has given his first Matt Talbot retreat down there. So I guess you get to keep Father John and all the guys that will be attending in your prayers as they make that retreat.
It's a great group of guys, too. I had it last year.
Yeah.
And as you know, retreats, when you preach a retreat, people are so affirming. You know, they really affirm everything that you do. They affirm the presence of Jesus in you, that Jesus is speaking through you. I know I was just reading your nice report with all the ladies, how touched they were with the retreat that you gave. And I just gave the retreat Pius the 10th this weekend. And, boy, I tell you, at the end, Ken, what they do with Malvern is they have the closing mass, and then after communion, they everyone puts their hand over the retreat director, and they pray for the retreat director. And I'll tell you, it brought tears to my eyes. I didn't want the guys to leave. I felt so bonded with them. But as you know, it's just a special time to go on retreats and to leave the world and just to give ourselves to the Lord for 40 hours or so, and just to be replenished and refreshed and ready to go again back into the world. But this time, a better person, a better husband, a better father, a better Christian. But retreats will do that, you know. Yeah. Peace, joy, happiness, to meet the Lord in an out-of-the-way place, to be filled with His enduring graces. Amen.
Yeah. Amen is right. And, you know, we're so blessed here in southeastern Pennsylvania to have, you know, St. Joseph's in the Hills, Malvern Retreat House, of which Father is now the rector. And, you know, to have it right here in our backyard, the ability to go on at least one retreat a year, and hopefully our listeners make at least one retreat. And I just put a plug out there for our men's weekend in the third weekend in August. Father McKay will actually be the retreat director for that retreat, in addition to being the rector. And it's just an ideal time to get away for the men. Father's Day is right around the corner. If you're not sure what to get your father or husband for Father's Day, how about a retreat this year? You can call the Malvern Retreat House and get them a gift certificate and sign them up for the Ed Friel Retreat. It's the weekend of August 18th to the 20th out there at Malvern. I've been going for 30 years, and I'm telling you, it was the beginning of my path, you know, back to the faith in earnest. I had started maybe a year and a half, but was really lukewarm until I made that retreat, and that's where God set me on fire. And so if you've never made a retreat, maybe this is the year to think about making one. If you've made them and maybe haven't been out in a while, come on back and think about making the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Weekend, August 18th to the 20th, and join Father McKay and I.
Yeah, you got me out there years ago.
Yeah.
Actually, this will be my third preach retreat for the Friel Group, and I actually made three retreats there, Ken, as a retreatant.
Yeah.
So this group will probably be the closest to my heart because I know so many of them.
Yeah, very good. All right. Announcements and prayers taken care of. Let's talk about some saints. We are currently back into ordinary time, I should say. We pick up where we left off before Lent. We're in the eighth week in ordinary time, and the saints on the calendar this week. Today, really not a saint. We celebrated the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Tomorrow, Thursday the 1st, we'll celebrate St. Justin Martyr. And on Friday the 2nd, Marcellinus and Peter, also martyrs. And more martyrs on Saturday the 3rd, Charles Lwanga and companions. And we thought we would start our conversation today with the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I can tell you we're going to talk about it a little bit more in the 5 o'clock hour. And but as far as for this show, you know, it's one of the mysteries of the Rosary. And I think our conversation this morning, Father, enlightened me even more to what this was, you know, really about. You know, we say it all the time. Every time you read a passage in Scripture, you know, something new pops out that our experience since the last time we read it perhaps has changed and gives us a new focus, or perhaps God just has a different message for us to be gotten, you know, each time that we go through it. And when we, you know, we're doing it this morning as part of our contemplative prayer group, you know, taking the role of Zechariah in this thing, you know, you'd think, you know, the most obvious participants are, you know, Mary and Elizabeth and Jesus and John the Baptist. But being Zechariah, the poor guy that was made mute by Gabriel because he couldn't believe that his wife could actually get pregnant even through the power of God, and now he gets to witness this event and can't say a word, you know. And I just imagine his excitement when Mary and Joseph come to the door, and the excitement that's going on between Mary and Elizabeth as they have those first few words together, you know, both of them having experienced miracles in their own lives. Of course, Mary now bearing Jesus in her womb, and Elizabeth at her older age becoming pregnant with John the Baptist. and even the interaction that may have gone on between Jesus and John, and that recognition, even though they couldn't see each other, obviously, that sense that they had of being close to one another. And you comment on this, you know, quite a bit, more in terms of, you know, lovers who oftentimes, you know, can just sit together and don't even have to say a word. And it's in that silence. And you can just imagine what was going on between Jesus and John in those first moments where they're in the same proximity of one another. But I still go back to Zechariah and you know, if he's like me, be kicking himself. How could I not believe? How could, you know, and I can't even talk. I don't have a say in any of this. Can't have a conversation with Joseph. And but getting to be a witness of this whole thing. And, you know, and like I shared this morning, that Mary must have been so overwhelmed in many regards, not thinking perhaps that she was worthy of what was taking place. And then once realizing what actually happened, how excited she was, and how God in his infinite wisdom, you know, allowed a miracle to happen at the same time with Elizabeth, so that Mary had somebody to run to and share that joy that she had. And I know sometimes we experience things in our own lives, and oftentimes we don't have the right person nearby to share it with. And I say the right person because, you know, if we share some of our things with people that, say, aren't in recovery, or people who aren't as on fire for the faith as we are, and we share about something that's really exciting to us, it'll kind of fall on deaf ears. So we kind of look for people that may know us, or people that are on the same wavelength, and share it with our excitement with them. And then, you know, we share in that joy together. And Mary, you know, God gave Elizabeth to Mary to share that joy with, and together they could enjoy it together. And, you know, it was all part of the plan. And you know, if we keep our eyes open, we can see God's plan unfold in our own lives, the people that God puts in our path at just the right time. I've been saying this for a while now. God's never early and he's never late. He's always right on time. And I thank God for that, because he's put all the right people in my life at just the moment that I needed them to be there. So today we celebrate the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Also want to congratulate our friend Patrick here. Made his consecration to Jesus through Mary today. He had done the prep for a while and was looking for just the right moment to actually make that consecration. And I can tell you, Patrick, your life will never be the same, man. It's what changed my life around in 1997 when I did my first consecration. We give ourselves over to Mary, and it gets exciting because we have no idea day to day what she's going to lay out in front of us to help bring about the kingdom of God here on earth.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
it was. I know the Blessed Mother was so proud of Patrick today as he knelt in front of her statue there, but yet knelt in front of her person as a mother, you know, and Patrick as the son. But, you know, one thing I was just thinking, Ken, when I was in the seminary, I kept a journal, and in the journal, when I got dry and it seemed like the Lord was being distant to me, I would notice in the journal that Mary wasn't so mentioned. And then I would notice that when I was mentioning Mary, my experience of the presence of Jesus was intense. It's like what I was saying this morning, that Monsignor Hugh Nolan gave a funeral mass down here, and those words were indelible. To Jesus, through Mary, with a smile. Those words always stayed with that, and how true they are, just to go to Jesus through Mary. That's how Jesus came to us, you know, through Mary. It's like when I hear being born again, like we're born through Mary into the kingdom, to Jesus our brother, to God our Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But, yeah, that was really beautiful with Patrick. I'm glad he shared that with us, with our group. And it was good to see the new ladies there, Mary and Phyllis, and, of course, Mario Maria, you know. It's just that we're building up our contemplative prayer group, Ken.
That's all. And, you know, some of our listeners may be interested. We get together on Wednesdays, 9:30 to 10:30. If we start getting more people, we may have to expand the length of time. in order to give folks an opportunity
True.
To
yeah.
Say what's happening with them. But in our Matt Talbot Chapel, 9:30 to 10:30 on Wednesday mornings, and then we have Mass afterwards. And, you know, basically reading the gospel for the day. We're supposed to read it the night before, so we have an idea of what we're looking at the next day. And we have a couple opportunities to hear it again during that hour. You know, the first time we talk about, after it's read, we think about what it means to us and share about that. And then we read it again and place ourselves in that gospel scene and then share what we may have experienced doing that. And then during the Mass, we have an extended meditation period right after we receive communion to reflect even further and to try to get into that contemplative space where we're just sitting, be quiet, and you know, let God work on us. And you may or may not experience any thoughts or visions or what have you, but mostly just to sit and be quiet and allow God to do His thing while we're there. So if you're interested in joining us for that, by all means, get in touch with me. I can give you more details and let you know where to meet us and what have you.
What a beautiful time to contemplate right after receiving Holy Communion. We receive God, and God receives us. And it's that silence, God's silence. Now, we already done the reading part, the reflection part. We responded and placed ourselves in it. But now there's a communion affair. And you said in the beginning, Ken, that with John the Baptist and Jesus, it was just it was a presence. And the child would leap in the womb. No words were said. And it's the same way with communion. I think we're like when two people are kissing, man and wife, loving one another. They're not talking. They're just in one another's presence. They're in a love affair. And that's how we're with Holy Communion. It's a love affair with God and God with us, and we just sit there for what, maybe from 5 to 10 minutes, and we're just inundated with grace, with the touch of the divine. Now I'm ready to go back out, and, you know, into the world and be His witness, because He's so close to my heart, to your heart. When we get that deep prayer of contemplation, we let God touch us deeply within, and then I can know my true self and bring that true self to others.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the visitation. I was just thinking how we began the month of May with Joseph and dedicated the whole month to Mary. Now we end it here with our Blessed Mother. And tomorrow's June, which we begin the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's like Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In grade school, that was always on top of my book. It's still on top of our thank you letters, JMJ. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We're members of that family. But this visitation, there's so much to it that in each mystery, Ken, it has meaning for us. Every mystery, we're not apart from it. It has meaning for ourselves. And this, you know, what I was talking about this morning when I first heard this explanation really burned my heart of who I am, where I'm going, where I belong, and this dwelling place of God within my heart and soul and in your heart and soul and all of our listeners' heart and souls. You're right. You know, people who are living in sin, their spiritual receptors are burned out. We can talk about this touch of Mary and Jesus. It's going to be foreign to them because they haven't experienced them, because they're in the darkness. But if they come out of the darkness and leave, you know, near occasions of sin, people, places, and things, and come to the near occasions of grace, people, places, and things, something's going to happen. There's going to be an experience of God's presence within us. But the meaning here of the visitation is the new Ark of the Covenant. Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant. And where she goes to Elizabeth in that same locale, it's called Ein Kerem. That same locale is where the old Ark of the Covenant happened maybe, I don't know, 600 years or so ago. And in the old Ark of the Covenant, the Ark stays for 3 months. Mary stays for 3 months with Elizabeth. In the old Ark of the Covenant, David dances around the Ark. Here, John the Baptist is dancing in the womb around the new Ark of the Covenant. in the old Ark of the Covenant, you have the Ten Commandments, which is the Word of God, but in the new Ark of the Covenant, Mary is the Word, capital W. And then the staff of Aaron is a symbol of the priesthood in the old Ark of the Covenant, but in the new Ark of the Covenant is the priest himself. And the manna that rains down from heaven, in the manna, you know, you have the bread from heaven, but in the new Ark of the Covenant, Mary, you have the bread of life, the Eucharist, Jesus himself. And so what's the meaning for us is that at baptism, we become the Ark of the Covenant. God makes his dwelling place in us. We become his children. And we're temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of the Father and the Son, that God dwells in us. And he animates our souls, which animates our bodies. He's so close to us. But we think we're doing everything ourselves. And everything, and I mean everything means everything, is a grace. We couldn't do anything without the presence of God. And he's always there with us, always there, loving us every step, every heartbeat, every breath along the way until we see him, you know, when he reveals himself to us there. And then we say, hey, was that you all the time? He's not going to be a stranger. I'm going to realize that anytime there was something good, it was the Lord, Ken. It was the Lord. So I just got so much out of that you know, all these mysteries, it has so much meaning to us that we are the new Ark of the Covenant. I was saying today with the scripture, the John in the book of Revelation, when he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, that's the most important, expensive piece of furniture on the planet for the Jewish people, because that's the dwelling place of God in the Ark of the Covenant. And he would capture their attention in chapter 10 of Revelation. But then chapter 11, it seems to break off, and he talks about a woman clothed in the sun. And you can say, what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? John is saying that Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant. She's the new Eve. And she's our Queen Mother, who loves us so much. And like her son, she's right there with us all the time. And all we need to do is cushion ourselves between the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And all shall be well, Ken.
Amen. And that, the hospitality that we talked about this morning, that takes place. And you and I had a side conversation this morning, I think it was even before the prayer group, about compassion. And, you know, the Christian gift that the compassion is, and that when Jesus runs to Elizabeth, or rather Mary runs to Elizabeth, and, you know, we presume that because of the way it's written in Luke's gospel that she's going to help Elizabeth because she's in her old age, and that there's the hospitality, but also the compassion that she shows, and knowing that because Elizabeth is a little bit older, that she may need additional help in getting her daily chores done and what have you, especially since, you know, I was reading another source today, you know, where, you know, Zechariah was a priest. And now that he's mute, I don't know how much of his priestly duty he could actually do, but he would have had a lot of weight on his shoulders taking care of his priestly duties, which would mean that he may not be able to take care of Elizabeth as much as he otherwise could have. And so, you know, here's Mary able to recognize that and fill in and help out as best she can. It also gave her an opportunity to, you know, get out of Dodge or escape from hometown for a couple of months to avoid, you know, hearing what the others in the neighborhood had to say about it. You know, this girl that gets pregnant out of wedlock. And there's just so many things that you can dwell on and think about and contemplate when it comes to this particular passage in Luke's gospel. We have about 5 minutes before we go to the break. I want to give out the phone numbers. You know what? I don't even think we gave out the numbers at the beginning of the show. Yeah. Now that I think about it, then the phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2906. 1-800-324-8484. And we have a gentleman on the line that probably has us on speed dial and doesn't need us to announce the numbers. So, no, old Frank.
Yes.
How you doing, brother?
I'm not on speed dial, but I dialed 267 instead of 610 the first time, so I got it wrong the first time. Whatever.
What's you going there? On? Yeah, what's going on, Frank?
Yeah, hi. I want to talk about Doug. Last Saturday, I haven't. Is this odd or is this God? Are you ready?
Yep.
Last Saturday, it was only my second time listening to a program. Her name's Carol Mass. She's a wonderful Catholic person, and I was trying to get a hold of her. I kept dialing the wrong number, but I thought I was dialing the right number. I kept dialing over and over again, different variations of the same wrong number, but I swear it was the right number. I was getting frustrated. Like 20 minutes go by. Then I dialed the wrong number, I thought. I was getting ready to hang up on it. I said, dial the wrong number. It came on, it was the right number. And I barely made it on the program. And I mean, I swear I was dialing the right number, it was the wrong number. I swear it was the wrong number. I was getting ready to hang up, but it was the right number. I said right away, that's Father Doug. Is this odd or is this God?
Amen.
Yeah. It was meant to be. And I just want to say hi to you guys both. You guys are both instrumental. Me being where I'm at today, sober, and also Captain Lou. I forgot about Wednesday again, and Captain Lou gave me a call. So thanks to all three of us and all the listeners. And I appreciate it. And thank you very much.
No problem. We're going to have to pay you, get you a tattoo, Frank. So
yeah, don't do that. It's against the law, that tattoo is Catholics.
Yeah, there you go. All right, brother. Appreciate the call.
Is it okay to hang up on the talk? I'm waiting to, before I always hung up early.
Yeah. No, it's always good to hear your voice, Frank.
Well, you too, Father.
Hold on, Father.
And I just want to thank you for all the times you call in and share your faith with us and so many listeners that would hear you, that the Lord speaks through you, Frank. So never doubt that the indwelling presence of God is within you and loves you so much. Well, and thank you for all the affirmation you give to Ken and I and to my buddy, Captain Lou. God bless you.
You got a new assignment?
Yeah. It's only on the weekends, though. I still keep my assignment here in Grace Ferry during the week, and then I go to Malvern as rector of Malvern Retreat House, Frank.
So you're only working 150 hours a week now?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But, you know, I'm really working for the pension plan. It's out of this world. I just got to die to collect it.
Oh, good idea. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right, Frank. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. So we got about a minute and a half before we go to the break. Father, you have a final word on
that? Yeah, you know, I was just thinking the Hail Mary, how that all came about.
Yeah.
You know, Angel Gabriel at the Annunciation. Hail Mary, you know, full of grace. The Lord is with thee, you know. Gosh, you know, he's already saying the Lord is with you, Ken, to Mary, even before the incarnation, you know, before the Word becomes flesh in Mary. Because at her Immaculate Conception, she's full of grace. She's full of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now the second person, the Blessed Trinity, already within her, is going to take flesh from within her, come through her to us, and bring us through her back to the Father and to the kingdom of God with all our loved ones. And, of course, the second part of the Hail Mary is today, you know, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And then the church would be put the second part on it. But the last word that I would have, Ken, would be, love goes the extra mile. Look at how far she went. 3-day journey with Joseph, you know, and all kinds of inclement weather, robbers along the way, but yet made that march all the way down to be with Elizabeth for 3 months, and then to go back home again, only to make that return journey once again to have the birthday of Jesus in Bethlehem. Talking when Jesus said, you know, go the extra mile there, boy, Mary did it. She went the extra mile. That love always goes the extra mile. Mary went the extra mile. Jesus went the extra mile. Joseph went the extra mile. We too should go the extra mile, and then we'll find ourselves in the kingdom of love, in the kingdom of God, Ken.
Amen. All right, that brings us to the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'd like to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but in order to do that, you need to give us a call and let us know what God has done in your life. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father Glacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign Radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic. And this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart. And when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. And while we're waiting for callers, just a quick update on what's going on with the Catholic Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Every Tuesday evening, Father McKay and I get together with a group in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We start in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, right across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass and our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, we are in St. Gabriel's Church. In June, that'll be June the 17th. And there we have a holy hour from 6 to 7. We have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, benediction. Father McKay, Father Shea, and others are on hand to hear confessions. And then we have Mass at 7 o'clock. The Unit of Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow, June the 1st. The Unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then the Calyx meeting afterwards. They will meet on Saturday, June the 11th. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass. That's 8:30 in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. The meeting at St. Luke's this month will be on Saturday, June the 17th. The Unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass with a Calyx meeting to follow. They just met this past weekend and will meet in June on June the 24th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, our friends gather at St. Matthew's every Wednesday. That'll be this evening at 6:15 p.m. for Mass, followed by their Calyx meeting. In the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma. It'll be Divine Will Wednesday. We'll be talking about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the Divine Will. So we managed to get a phone call, so we're going to go to the phone lines and go to Angelo. Hello, Angelo.
Hello.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. I had two ARPA guys I felt compelled to complain about. The past few months have been really hard for my family. We lost my sister to an overdose 2 years to the same month that we lost my brother. They were both a year apart. They hung out with the same group of friends, and they got involved with drugs. We were all brought up into a good Catholic family. My parents made sure that we grew up in the faith, and we had a good upbringing, but unfortunately, they fell in with the wrong crowd, and I started falling into despair and having problems in my own personal life as a result. And one day I went out to go to work, and there was an orange, card on my car, and it had a quote from 2 Timothy saying that the Lord will stand with you and give you strength. I don't know who put that there. For all I know, it could have been from the hand of God himself, but I really needed it at the time that I received it. And even after that, I continued to have struggles, but I was down the shore with my family on my way to breakfast, and I was thinking about the time I spent in the Holy Land while I was in high school. I went there on a scholarship program. I think about how nice the tour guide there was, and she was a Jewish girl in her 20s who taught us a lot about Israel. And I wonder if I'll run into her this weekend, because me and my family, we often do see her down there, and that would be really cool. We go into the restaurant where we're going to eat breakfast, and there's a young girl there in her 20s, looks exactly like her. And I said, hold on, are you so-and-so's daughter? And she said, yeah, how did you know? I said, first of all, you look just like her. I said, second of all, she posts pictures of you on Facebook all the time. And tell her I said hello. She's really been a good influence on my life, and I love the time in the Holy Land that she afforded me through Project Build. And I really think God was talking to me, telling me to focus on the good things in my past, not only the bad. When it came to that, that was just something that I wanted to share.
Amen. I appreciate you taking the time to call, Angelo. Father?
Yeah, thank you, Angelo. I was listening to your, losing a brother and a sister with drugs. I lost a brother as well that overdosed and died in a crack house, Anthony. And then my other brother that died from post-traumatic stress disorder, my brother Harry. And I know what my parents went through and we all went through, so I share in your grief and problems and difficulties like that. But just thank you for your faith sharing testimony there, and how the Lord is right there with us all the time. You know, when you needed him the most, just that little thing on the card, the Lord will give you the strength. I keep thinking of Paul, in him we live and move and have our being. When I'm weak, I'm strong, because his power rests upon me, and I can conquer all things in him who strengthened me, even the grave. And I think about all the ones who have lost their lives because of drugs and alcohol. And somehow in my heart, down deep, I really believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see they're going to have higher places, because they suffer so much in this life. And it is a disease. It really is a disease. I keep thinking about St. Augustine, how he, and this is 1,600 years ago where Augustine lived, called alcoholism, drug, a disease. And that St. Monica was an alcoholic. And he said, my mother had a disease. And there was no remedy for it except the medicine of God. And that's the Eucharistic presence of the Lord. But each and every one of us were an eternal children of our Heavenly Father. And I really believe that Christ came to take away all our sins, destroy death, but more than that, to bring us home to where we come from, where we belong, and where we're going, in the arms of our Heavenly Father. So thank you, Angelo, for calling in and sharing your testimony and your honor, God.
No problem, Father. You're a great priest. I went to confession for you at St. Richard's in the past. I really think you're a man of God. I appreciate all you do. And if you could say a prayer for me and my health and my family's health as well. I'm going to hang up. Thank you for everything.
Hey, Angelo.
Angelo, don't hang up yet,
yeah.
Ange. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Why don't you give that blessing right now. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, God.
We praise and thank you for the gift of life, the promise of eternal life, for family, for parents, brothers and sisters. We just ask a special blessing upon Angelo and his struggles and difficulties, to let him know you're always there with him, and bless his loved ones and his parents, his whole family, Lord, with that deeper intimacy, that deeper experience of your abiding presence with them all. And Angelo, may God bless you and let you know that in your struggles, you grow closer to him. And all those who are struggling out there, all those who are having difficulties, all those who lost loved ones, who are grieving, may God bless us all. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Angelo.
Thank you, Father. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care, Angelo. Thank you. All right. I think that's it in the way of phone calls. Father, you got an odd or God you want to share?
You know, not right offhand. I can't seem to think.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I like to the one I shared last night was when I gave the retreat at Malvern, Ken, and somehow along the way I was talking about, you know, Malvern and how, you know, I would get there on Thursday and Friday morning and hardly be anybody there. And they have a Wawa right around the corner, and I would get my Wawa coffee and croissant and come back and look at the deers, you know, look at all the deer, the doe, and listen to the birds singing and the peace there at Malvern. I would get out there and I would say to myself, I got a feeling we're not in Grace Ferry anymore, Toto. But anyway, I was telling that story about, you know, Malvern and the peacefulness of it and how blessed I am to get out of the inner city for a weekend and come back rejuvenated and ready to go again. But when I was at Wawa, I meant to get, a Wawa card, because a lot of times when you pay cash for a coffee or a croissant or a pastry, it might come to something like 607, and you get all this change, you know, and I don't like change. I keep dumping it in the drawer, give it to someone that's poor later on. But anyway, I forgot to get the card, and I'm coming back and walking the halls there of Malvern, and one of the retreatants come up, and he says to me, hey, Father, I got a Wawa card for you. Gave me a $60 Wawa card. I said, is that odd or is that God? And it's God, you know. The guy was treating me. He says, I'll buy you the Wawa card, you know. But how close he is and how he's always blessing us, you know, revealing his presence, honor God experiences. He lets us know that he's with us always until the end of the world. But if I'm in the darkness of sin, and I'm clinging to this worldliness, you know, I can't have both worlds. I'm not going to be aware of the Lord. But all I have to do is to come out of the darkness into the light, Ken, and experience this divine presence, this love that Jesus has for us, our brother, you know, and our God has for us. But we get caught in the darkness and in sinfulness, the attachments of worldliness. And, of course, our spiritual receptors are burned out. We knock down our spiritual antenna, and we're not experiencing this love affair, this loving presence of God with us always. So it's a matter about coming out of the darkness into the light. Repent, change, come home to the kingdom, to God, and beautiful things are going to happen. We're going to become more aware of these odd or God experience all throughout our day. That story comes to mind. I just end with that, Ken, the story with two diamonds are in a dark cave, and outside the sun is shining, and one diamond decides to roll out of the cave into the sunlight. And it rolls out into the sunlight, begins to glitter and be a sparkle in the beauty of the diamond now in the sunlight. And the diamond in the darkness said, how did you get so beautiful and sparkle and shine so well? He said, easy, roll out of the darkness into the light, and you too will shine. You too will sparkle. You too will show your beauty. And that's what I say, Ken. Roll out of the darkness of sin into the light of Christ. Roll out of sin into grace, out of darkness into light, out of death into eternal life. And we will experience this God, Jesus, who's always with us until the end of the world.
Amen. Well, I think we probably have time for one saint, Father. You want Philip Neri or Augustine of Canterbury?
How much time we have?
About 13 minutes.
Yeah, let's do Philip Neri.
All right. Philip Neri was one that we missed last week, but one of Father's favorites. He was born July 21st in the year 1515 and he would die on May the 26th in the year 1595. He was a layman for the most part. He, at an early age, he would give up the opportunity to be a businessman, and he moved to Rome from Florence, and he would devote his life to God. He took 3 years of philosophy and theology classes and gave up any thought of ordination. He didn't want to be a priest, but as a layman, he would spend the next 13 years in a vocation, if you will, that really hadn't been around up until him, that of a lay person actively engaged in prayer and the apostolate. The Council of Trent would happen in 1545 to 1563. So this is around the time that Philip's in his 30s and 40s. And they're reforming the church on a doctrinal level. And Philip, because of his personality, he started gathering all different kinds of people, everybody from beggars to cardinals, that would want to be around them. And together they would pray and have discussion groups, and eventually they would introduce music. But he couldn't get away from ordination. And after those 13 years, he is ordained a priest. His confessor suggested that he become one, and Philip himself would become a great confessor. And after that, he would start to arrange these talks and discussions and prayers for the people that would come to him for confession in a room above the church. And sometimes they would also get together and go on trips to other churches. And while they were going, they would sing music, play music, and maybe have a picnic on the way. Some of the people that followed Philip would have become priests themselves and lived together in a community. And this was the beginning of what's known as the Oratory. It was a religious institute that Philip founded. And they would have a daily afternoon service where they would have four informal talks with vernacular hymns and prayers. Famous guy Giovanni Palestrina was one of Philip's followers, and he would compose the music for those services. The Oratory got approved eventually. There was a lot of suffering because of accusations that were being made against this group of people, you know, calling them heretics, and because, you know, part of it was because they sang vernacular hymns, and they had lay people that would preach. But obviously this isn't in the middle of the Mass or sacraments or what have you. It was in their own gatherings there in the Oratory. Philip's advice would be sought out by many prominent people in those days. He was also influential in the Counter-Reformation that was taking place, of course, that was what brought about the Council of Trent. And so his true emphasis was on converting people with their personal holiness. And it was through that that people that were already in the church, by building up their holiness, that they were able to help the church itself. And his primary characteristics, virtues, were humility and gaiety. He liked to joke and do things through laughter. And I know there's a number of people, speakers that'll use jokes to warm up the crowd. Maybe even they're used in homilies from time to time, just to bring people in and gain people's interest. So he used humor in order to do that. The day that he died, he had been hearing confessions all day long and receiving visitors, and then he had a hemorrhage and would die on the Feast of Corpus Christi in the year 1595, beatified in 1615, and canonized in 1622. It wasn't until three centuries, 300 years later, that Cardinal John Henry Newman would found the first English-speaking House of the Oratory in London. That's St. Philip Neri, whose feast day we celebrated last week on May the 26th. And also our parish here in Lafayette Hill, St. Philip Neri.
St. Philip Neri. Yeah, he had a spiritual tripod, which love of others, simplicity of life, and joyous service of God. As you mentioned, he was so joyful that he called him the clown of Rome. And Rome at the time, it was in a shambles, you know. It was really way out, like today, really. And Philip Neri comes and and really transforms. You know, he's called the Apostle of Rome, transforms Rome. It's just amazing, Ken, when one person can give themselves to Jesus totally and completely, what could happen? Because it's no longer them. Like St. Paul says, I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. And that's what a saint is. A saint is someone that Christ shines through. It's a new light from heaven. St. John Vianney, you know, the devil appeared to him and said, if there were three of you, I'd be out of business. What one soul can do when that soul is transformed into Jesus Christ, one heart, one mind, one spirit, one will. And it's like Jesus living again. That's what a saint is. It's letting Jesus live again. But, yeah, he really changed the Rome. And hours and hours in the confessional, he would spend long hours in the confessional. And he would have, like, on top of where he lived, it was a little loggia. And people would come at the door for confession. He would leave the loggia, his prayer, and come down to the door and meet the people, hear their confession, give them little spiritual talks. And someone said, doesn't that interrupt your prayer and doesn't that bother you? He said, oh, no, I leave Jesus for Jesus. That he saw Jesus everywhere, you know, wherever he would turn. That Jesus was so much a part of him. That I like the two quotes, you know, from Philip. He said, Philip would say, keep both hands on Philip, O Lord, or he will flee you.
Hmm.
And the second quote was, beware of Philip, O Lord, or he will betray you. He realized Philip knew he was a sinner and that he needed grace. And that's what he was living in. He was living close to Jesus. And as long as he was close to Jesus, he was in that state of grace. And he was so intimate with the Lord and loving him so much. He didn't want to offend him in any way. And, of course, he had the special gifts because it was Jesus living in him, through him, and with him. He's known for raising the dead, you know, curing people, cripples and all. But what he's known for the most, the Pentecostal experience that he had. It was on Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was like a fiery ball come right into him, like he swallowed this ball. And it actually expanded his heart, and it broke his ribs. He would go around. He always had this heat in him. And he would always leave his cassock unbuttoned at the top. And when he died, they saw that the heart was enlarged, and he actually had two broken ribs. You know, it was just amazing. But the Pentecostal experience, but the love of the Eucharist, as you mentioned, the 40 hours, the seven churches, how they would go. And he had a cat and a dog and a bird that would go along with them. They would sing the hymns and do the 40 hours with our Lord. But Jesus wasn't someone that was present 2,000 years ago to him, someone that's present right now in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And he would get excited before Mass, Ken. He would actually have to read like comic books, you know, because he would go into ecstasy. And very often in his private Masses, the sacristan would light the candles. He'd come to the consecration and go to an ecstasy. And the sacristan would blow out the candles, turn out the, you know, to blow out all the candles, leave, come back 2 hours later, and Philip be in that trance, and he would pull on the vestments. He'd light the candles again, pull on the vestments, and Philip would continue the Mass. But he would roll in front of the altar, you know, enough, enough, I can't take it anymore. That's ecstatic joy, you know, and he had that joy. And you know, we all can have it. You know, we can't have it all the time. We would burn out. We would burn up. But the Lord will touch our hearts with this joy to know what's coming in this beatific vision, this ecstatic joy, this, you know, this love, this glory of God that will be forever and ever with all of our loved ones. But one of the things I often think about what he would say, you know, he worked with the young people, you know, the street rallies and all. And he came up to a young man, and one of his favorite lines was, last of all, we die. Last of all, we die. And he came to a young man, and he said, what are you going to do with your life? He said, well, you know, I'm going to go to higher education. I'm going to graduate. And then what? I'm going to become a lawyer. I'm going to go to law school. And then what? I'm going to set up a law firm. Then what? I'm going to make money, build a mansion. And then what? I'm going to retire and enjoy all the money I have and, you know, sit back, relax. And then what? And then Philip would always say, last of all, we die. And then what? And when I heard that, Ken, that inspired me to write this poem. I just like to recite that. I called it, That's What. After the beer and the pretzels, then what? After the pills and the thrills, then what? After the parties and the banquets, then what? After the shows and the games, then what? After the Super Bowl and the World Series, then what? After the champagne and the parades, then what? Disney World? Then what? Last of all, we must die, and we meet the Lord God for death, judgment, heaven, or hell. That's what. St. Philip Neri, pray for us to be joyful in the abiding presence of our risen Lord. Amen.
Amen is right. You know, and as you're, I've heard the poem before, and, you know, it's one of the things that when I think about it and pray on it, those last four things, death and judgment, heaven and hell. And, you know, most of the saints would pray on these things, contemplate these things, pray about them. And, you know, when we think about those things on a regular basis, it's going to be life-changing. You know, we're not going to do some of the horrendous things that we might do otherwise, and I can only speak, of course, from my own experience and in my own life. And, you know, when I put those things either on the back burner or, and it's usually not intentionally, it's just, you know, it doesn't come up, and, you know, I don't always have it written down somewhere. I was just sharing with somebody earlier today about a daily checklist I want to put together, and I remember putting tablets together when I was younger and, you know, stacking up the pieces of paper and rubber cementing the ends and make it into a tablet with that daily checklist of things to do, and that would be one of the ones that's on there. And, you know, when we think about those things, and I just go back to a guy I worked with at Vanguard for almost the whole 20 years I was there, and he would see me going off to Mass at noontime over at St. Isaac Jogues. And the first few times he asked, where are you going at lunchtime? And I would tell him. And the one time when I started going over to St. Isaac's, I said to him, you know, eternity is a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, for a number of years, Gary would look at me and he'd say, you know what? Eternity is a long, long time, isn't it? And when we think about that, it can be life-changing, because depending on how we live our lives could dictate, you know, where we end up. And so, you know, think about those things and be prepared. We got just a minute left, Father.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, Ken, I'll never forget the last four things. death, judgment, heaven, and hell, because it was our comprehensives. And I had, right before ordination, we had to go for our comprehensives before like four or five priests. And they would ask questions. And one of the questions was, what are the four last things? And I had a brain freeze. I didn't know. And I could see the professors really trying to help me. Douglas, you know, death, still nothing. Judgment, and then they had to give me all four, heaven or hell. And I said, oh boy, am I going to be ordained? But I'll never forget the last four things. I would have liked to end with a poem, but I think we're out of time.
Yeah. They got about 40 seconds.
Yeah. Anyway, here, worrying about my last drink. It's about heaven or hell. If you are new to Alcoholics Anonymous, sit back, relax, and listen. If you are not an alcoholic, don't worry. But if you are an alcoholic, you have two things to worry about. They are, am I going to join AA program, or am I going to continue my drinking? And if you join our program, you have nothing to worry about. But if you go on drinking, you have two things to worry about. They are, am I going to end up in a state hospital, or am I going to die from my alcoholism? If you end up in a state hospital, you have nothing to worry about. And if you die from our dreadful disease, you have just two things to worry about. They are, am I going to heaven, or am I going to hell? And if you're going to heaven, you have nothing to worry about. And if you're going to hell, you have only one thing to worry about. That is, where in hell am I going to get my next drink?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Oh God, bless us all, Lord. Move the cobwebs, the darknesses, reveal yourself, Lord. We need that light in our dark world. Bless all the listeners, Lord, all those who are suffering and sick, especially for Kate Rennick's sister Annie, and for Tony Pinto, who are in hospice, Lord. Keep us close to your most sacred heart through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and bless us with that peace and joy that the world can't give or take away, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, Father, thank you, pal.
Thanks, Ken.
We got Peter DePalma's already on the line, so we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the gift of the divine will. Don't go away. We'll be right back.